Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy you all are here. Let's begin our call, as we usually do, with coming together in silence. So if you're moving around, just pausing, maybe taking a seat. If you'd like, you're welcome to allow your eyes to close. We're turning our attention away from what the body's eyes show us. And instead, we're bringing our attention to that quiet, still space within. That place within where Holy Spirit, our own right mind, abides. This part of our mind is always there. It never goes away. It's only us that turns away from it. Dropping into a sense of willingness. Willingness to drop fearful beliefs. Willingness to come to know the truth. And offering that tiny bit of willingness to Holy Spirit within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, deep, mindful breath in and out. Coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. Welcome, everybody. We've been reading about special and holy relationships for a while now, so we are going to pick up where we left off last week. If you have the Sparkle edition of the book, it is on page 413. It's the very last full paragraph on the page. Now the ego counsels thus, is how it starts. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 17, part 6, paragraph number 49. Sorry, I lost it for a second. Also starting with the phrase, now the ego counsels thus. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 17, part 5, paragraph number 7. Does anybody need me to repeat any of those, or are we good? I think we're good. All right. So just to briefly recap, we've been reading about how when a special relationship, which a special relationship is simply not just a relationship between two people. It can be our relationship to our body. It can be our relationship to food. It can be a relationship to anything. Once we give the purpose of a special relationship over to Holy Spirit, rather than using that relationship on behalf of staying asleep, on behalf of keeping the separation going, which is a special relationship, once we give it over to Holy Spirit now, we're learning how that relationship is being transformed for holy purposes now. It's being transformed for awakening purposes rather than staying asleep. So just to recap sort of the most recent ideas that we have read up until this point in the book, up until this point in this section, it was saying how once we offer our relationship over to Holy Spirit, that new goal of holiness, of awakening, comes in very quickly, and that can actually make that relationship feel a bit disoriented. And it says that it is a rapid change in goal, because otherwise if it were a slow, gradual change in a goal to holiness, the ego would have enough time to sort of find its way in there and continue to figure out how to use that relationship on its behalf. So that's essentially in a nutshell. It was talking about also how once we give our relationships over to Holy Spirit, and if we do find that it feels a bit chaotic, that's a time for faith, that we've allowed the goal to be set for us, which is that goal of awakening, and so now it's a time to trust. So that's about where we read up to. So I'll start with this paragraph then. Now the ego counsels thus. Substitute for this another relationship to which your former goal was quite appropriate. You can escape from distress only by getting rid of each other. You need not part entirely if you choose not to do so, but you must exclude major areas of fantasy from each other to save your sanity. Hear not this now. Have faith in him who answered you. He heard. Has he not been very explicit in his answer? You are not now wholly insane. Can you deny that he has given you a most explicit statement? Now he asks for faith a little longer, even in bewilderment. For this will go, and you will see the justification for your faith emerge to bring you shining conviction. Abandon him not now, nor each other. This relationship has been reborn as holy. And I'll pause there. So again, this just ties into what we've been reading, because it's saying that once we give our special relationship over to Holy Spirit, that relationship, the goal of the relationship now changes to be used on behalf of our awakening. Things might seem chaotic, and when they do, the ego is now saying, you know, throw this relationship away and let's go find another one, because this one actually isn't cutting it for us anymore. It's wanting to go find another relationship that instead could be used, again, on behalf of separation. So this is prompting us to stay with faith a little bit longer, abandon Holy Spirit, not now, nor each other. The relationship has been reborn as holy. Beautiful. Any thoughts or questions or insights coming up for anybody so far?
Just would that apply to the ego then at the highest level? Your relationship to your ego, or am I not seeing it?
Your relationship to your ego. So, yeah. You know, that relationship, that's a interesting way of thinking about it, that, you know, the ego, number one, is just an idea. So we're really talking about a relationship to an idea, right? And it is a change in relationship to that idea, meaning we loosen our own belief on this idea of being an ego, of being a separate self. And so that relationship changes also. And I think many of us have experienced that on the call with feeling you know, those moments of like recognition, I'll speak for myself, when it's like, oh, I'm not, I this gut sense, like I know I'm not Corinne. Of course, I forget that 5 minutes later, but it's these little, you know, these little moments that we have. So yeah, so that's I'm glad that you said that, Brian, because that's really, that brings it to a deep level, that even our special relationship to our idea of a separate self will be transformed, is transformed already.
Yeah, and I didn't want to oversimplify it because, you know, the examples you gave when we started, the body and food, you know, the things that we have, these special relationships, you know, for me, it's internal thoughts. And to me, that's the ego is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, right. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, those internal thoughts, and I'm assuming you mean thoughts of you know, fear and pain and all those lovely,
yes.
lovely ego thoughts.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's other thoughts in our mind too. There's our real thoughts in our mind as well.
That's it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That was great. Very helpful.
I think it's kind of interesting. He says now he asks for faith a little longer, even in bewilderment. What comes to my mind just reading this, I had like a special relationship with a friend that I've had a lot of conflict around. And the ego always seems to want to have to do something about that.
Mm.
But I'm getting the, I mean, in this paragraph, it's not saying you have to do anything except he asks for faith a little longer. Now, he's saying he's heard you.
Mm-hmm.
He has not been very explicit in his answer. You
has
are not,
he not been?
Or has, wait a minute.
Has
he
not
been very explicit in his answer? And my mind was going to, well, what answer? What answer? And I think that's part of the problem.
Right.
You need do nothing.
Right.
Leave
yeah,
it alone.
You want to figure it out. And you're hitting on a good point, too, with special relationships in whatever form they may take, when they're problematic, we want to go into problem solving, right? And when we go into problem solving, we're doing it with ego when we're trying to figure out how to fix it ourselves versus that pausing and saying, hey, wait a second, help. Let me ask here for another way. And that's what came up for me when you highlighted that sentence, Paula. Now he asks for faith a little longer, even in bewilderment. So even when we're in that place of like, oh my gosh, my ego is screaming to do something, or like I don't even know what's going on, you know, just maintaining that asking, it says now he asks for faith a little bit longer.
Yeah, because, you know, it's that thinking we need to know the results of the Holy Spirit's decision here for us.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, I need to know this. No, just free that person to be who they are.
Yeah. Beautiful. Let's read the next paragraph. Maybe we'll finish this section tonight. Let's see how it goes. Accept with gladness what you do not understand. Accept with gladness what you do not understand, and let it be explained to you as you perceive its purpose. I need to start over again. Sorry. I paused and I was like, that didn't sound right. Accept with gladness what you do not understand, and let it be explained to you as you perceive its purpose, work in it to make it holy. You will find many opportunities to blame each other for the failure of your relationship, for it will seem at times to have no purpose. A sense of aimlessness will come to haunt you and to remind you of all the ways you once sought for satisfaction and thought you found it. Forget not now the misery you really found, and do not now breathe life into your failing egos. For your relationship has not been disrupted, it has been saved. I love this paragraph. I love this because this, what comes up for me as I was reading this is thinking about times, and I can only remember the feeling, I don't remember the specific circumstances, of just feeling like that sense of aimlessness, like what the heck is this? What is this all for? You know, I thought I knew my purpose, but what the heck? You know, I have no idea. And it is that recognition that, you know, how the Course says, do not underestimate I'm not remembering the exact quote. There's no area of your perception that the ego has not touched. So we think we find safety in, or you know, an identity in let's say, being a teacher, or we think we find an identity in being a parent or a spouse or whatever it is that we think, like, oh, this is it, you know, this is why I'm here. And yet that identity is an identity of this world. It's an identity of what is not actually our true self. And so when we touch on that futility, when we have these moments of feeling that sense of aimlessness, like, what is this all for? What am I doing? That's actually a beautiful thing, because we're touching on the fact that, you know, all of this that we made here is not the truth, that we're coming to know, coming to learn our true identity in God, and that has actually nothing to do with a body. It has nothing to do with a specific role. So do not breathe life into your failing egos, meaning you don't have to look to try to, you know, figure out some other role that would make you feel good. This is about coming to know our true identity in God. There's nothing out there at all that can make us feel fulfilled. Go on, Brian.
No, just that is just so, I got to tell you. I mean, it's a couple of things for me. One is time and a sense of aging, the frustration of aging, because it haunts you with aimlessness. I mean, it's just me, but I'm just saying it does. It does. Mm-hmm. It robs you of your strength. And that and parenting, because of the inherent frustrations of letting go. That's where I'm
right.
at. But for me, it's the time. It's time and aging.
Right.
You know? Ugh.
Yeah, and...
Well, the Course talks about that because, of course, I'm certainly aging. And the body is, if you use it for Holy Spirit's purposes, will be a... How is it put, Corinne? A serviceable instrument till you lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to think of it that way.
Go on, Paula.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say another quote comes up for me, that giving your life to Holy Spirit, you know, devoting yourself on this path of awakening, it says this life becomes a meaningful encounter with the truth. I feel suddenly really emotional saying that.
Mm.
This life becomes a meaningful encounter with the truth. You're not a body. You can't age. You are timeless. You are absolutely wholly timeless. And you're also, you know, your children are not your children. They're your brothers. They're in this lifetime, they've taken on these specific roles as children. But in truth, they're your, and I use, you know, brothers in the non-gender, siblings.
Yeah.
That's who they are. And so as we come to know this, and I'm speaking, it's different knowing it in your head versus experiencing it and like really knowing it in your heart. We know it, like we're like, oh yeah, that sounds great. But what we're learning how to do is actually awaken to the truth of that, to actually like be the like embodiment, like to really, really know that. And as we come to know that truth about who it is that we are, that we can't age because we are not a body, there is no time. That's just, as the Course calls it, a sleight of hand. It's a trick. It's a misperception. As we come to awaken to the truth of that, the body has to function perfectly. The Course says that it will be, just like you said, Paula, it will be laid down. It won't be sick. It won't be old. It'll just be laid down because its usefulness is over. Because at that point, we'll be like, you know, I don't need this anymore. I'm done. I'm out of here. Bye. So that idea of this life being a meaningful encounter with the truth, I'm like fixated on that. That's been a quote that's been very much in my awareness lately.
Hi, everyone. It's Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi.
Do you need page references, or are you good?
I'll just listen because I don't want to interrupt you. I liked what you were saying, Corinne. I loved it.
Oh, good, good. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So I don't know if that helps, Brian, but that was what came up for me.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It has to
and
become
all,
part
you know,
of you.
When we – oh, go on.
No, just that it has to become part of you.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah.
The gift – in the times when we think we're not doing it good, you know, the times that we think, oh, like I'm really being haunted by aimlessness right now, or I'm really like triggered, you know, in this role as a parent, or I'm really, you know, whatever it may be, the times that we get caught in that, the times that we get stuck, are beautiful opportunities. Rather than, you know, the ego will say, oh, look at you, you're lapsing backwards, you're not doing good. That's what the ego is going to tell you. The times, though, that we get hooked and get stuck are beautiful opportunities to instead say, oh, Holy Spirit, here it is again, my belief that I'm separate, my belief that I'm a body, my belief that I'm a parent, you know, go through the different roles, the different beliefs, and slowly say, I'm willing to look at this with you, like one by one by one, because questioning, the Course asks us to question every belief that we hold, and it's through questioning or looking at those beliefs with Holy Spirit that we loosen our belief, our attachment to them, and that enables instead that replacement, that miracle to come forward instead.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, so those times that we get hooked are actually beautiful, beautiful opportunities if we can look at them with Spirit instead of ego.
Thank you.
At least that's how it's been helpful for me.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you. All right. How about let's keep reading. You are very new in the ways of salvation and think you have lost your way. Your way is lost. And again, that's as a small self. Your way is lost, but think not this is loss. In your newness, remember that you have started again together and take each other's hand to walk together along a road far more familiar than you now believe. Is it not certain that you will remember a goal unchanged throughout eternity? For you have chosen but the goal of God from which your true intent was never absent. How reassuring is that? That of course we have to remember a goal that's been unchanged throughout eternity. Of course we have to. And that, I think, is the appeal for us on this particular pathway of the Course, is that, you know, we've had moments of remembering, moments of being drawn to this, because we're willing now to remember that goal that's always been there. The goal of God. I'll read the next paragraph, then we'll pause there. Throughout the sonship is the song of freedom heard, in joyous echo of your choice. You have joined with many in the holy instant, and they have joined with you. Think not your choice will leave you comfortless, for God himself has blessed your holy relationship. Join in his blessing and withhold not yours upon it. For all it needs now is your blessing, that you may see that in it rests salvation. Condemn salvation not, for it has come to you. And welcome it together, for it has come to join you together in a relationship in which all the sonship is together blessed. That's the difference, too, between a special relationship and a holy relationship. A special relationship is just for the two. It's like we have this special little thing going. It's just for us. This is clearly saying that joining together in a holy relationship, it blesses all. It blesses the entire sonship, all of creation. So I'll pause there. I'm wondering if anybody – oh, yes, go on.
Yeah, what comes to my mind is equality. You know, sometimes that's really hard to get, you know, in certain situations, maybe where you feel intimidated or maybe you're not confident for some reason. But each and every one of us is equal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real challenge. Sometimes when I walk on the boardwalk and, you know, you're seeing people and it's like, we're all equal here.
Yeah, yep.
Boy, when you really, you know, play with that idea and really work on that, that's a wonderful
mm-hmm.
thing.
It is.
Really opens your heart to people, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Beautiful. Anybody else still move to
say hi?
Oh, hey, Carla.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, sis. Thank you for asking. How's everybody?
Good.
Okay. And so are we in chapter 18, correct?
We are in chapter 17. You have the FIP, right?
Okay. Yeah. But I'll probably pull it up on the original. So if you just tell me like this, so the chapter and the section and the name of the section.
Chapter 17, part 6, the healed relationship in
okay.
the original edition.
Great. Thank you.
And I think we just finished paragraph 51.
Okay.
Awesome. Anybody else have any insights or comments or questions so far? Let's keep reading. You undertook together to invite the Holy Spirit into your relationship. He could not have entered otherwise. Although you may have made many mistakes since then, you have also made enormous efforts to help him do his work. And he has not been lacking in appreciation for all you have done for him. Nor does he see the mistakes at all. Have you been similarly grateful to each other? Have you consistently appreciated the good efforts and overlooked mistakes? Or has your appreciation flickered and grown dim in what seemed to be the light of the mistakes? You are now entering upon a campaign to blame each other for the discomfort of the situation in which you find yourselves. And by this lack of thanks and gratitude, you make yourselves unable to express the holy instant and thus lose sight of it. I almost feel like I can hear Jesus speaking to Helen and Bill in this paragraph for whatever they had going on at the time, but of course it's completely relevant to us. You know, in our relationships, in our lives, how consistent are we in appreciating the good efforts and overlooking mistakes? You know, in a special relationship, you're focused on the mistakes typically. Like, you did this. It's pointing the finger and putting, you know, cause outside of yourself, saying that other can cause me, you know, to have a bad day or upset me or whatever it is. So this is a nice reminder. Also remembering, too, that where it says that you consistently appreciated the good efforts and overlooked mistakes, we're not asked to do that alone. So, again, it's about turning to Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is going to be the one that can that only sees the good and overlooks the mistakes. And so we're actually asking Holy Spirit to learn how to use the vision of Holy Spirit instead of our own. I'll just also add about this paragraph where it says in the very start of the paragraph, you undertook together to invite the Holy Spirit into your relationship. He could not have entered otherwise. Somewhere in the course it says something to the effect that God honors even our miscreations. So even the chaos and the crazy idea of an ego, God isn't going to interfere because God gave us free will. God gave us, you know, free choice, and so God wouldn't even interfere with our miscreations. And so it's up to us to be the ones to invite the Holy Spirit in. As it says, he could not have entered otherwise. Holy Spirit's always there, but it's a matter of whether or not Holy Spirit is in our awareness. We have to invite Holy Spirit in order to be aware of it.
Corinne,
yes.
What did you say? Even our miscreations, God honors?
Yep.
Okay.
It says it says that in the course somewhere that God
yeah,
honors even your miscreations. Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to be sure. I knew I'd read that before, but I wanted to just jot that down.
Yeah, yeah. It's a powerful one. It's been actually quite a helpful idea to me in remembering that, you know, whatever seems to be going on in my life, if there's a challenging situation, God didn't create it. God's honor. God's not, you know, God's letting what I'm choosing for be what I choose for because I'm the one that chose for it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Other insights or questions or examples? Anything coming up for anyone?
I have a question, or I guess, I don't know. A couple of months ago, I guess now 3 months ago, I broke up with somebody that I was dating, and we were already having trouble in the relationship. And I had started reading the course, and I invited the Holy Spirit in, but I didn't tell him about that. And then we subsequently broke up, and now we haven't spoken for almost 3 months. And I still think about him all the time, and I'm just wondering. I've thought about reaching out to him. I'm just kind of confused about the whole thing. But then what I'm reading here is that I should do nothing. And I don't know if it was wrong of me to ask the Holy Spirit into the relationship. If I don't know, was I supposed to do that with him?
Beautiful questions. you're inviting Holy Spirit in, like that's always up to you. In that, I mean, I would always say yes, invite the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit's the way, you know, for us to remember the truth. And if you felt moved to, you did for a reason, and that's awesome. I know many folks who are course students who invite the Holy Spirit in, but their significant other, their partner, is not a course student and is not on the same pathway. And, you know, that's totally fine. With inviting Holy Spirit in, you know, we're essentially saying that, you know, we're willing to have another way, and we're willing to do this forgiveness work, this work of being willing to experience miracles and wake up to the truth of who we are. So what I would say is that, like how you said, you know, what you're reading, it seems to be saying that I need do nothing. I always recommend that you get quiet and ask Holy Spirit what to do, because if there's something to do, Holy Spirit is going to let you know. And if you don't hear an answer, then, you know, maybe just staying and pausing with that for a bit can be helpful. I know for me, there have been times when I've read things in the book that have made me feel like I should do or shouldn't do something, and yet, because the Course always is going to meet us where we're at, but in the moment, I find it for myself to be most helpful just to ask, you know, to get quiet and ask Holy Spirit, what should I do? You know, should I do nothing? Should I do something? So I don't know if that helps if I even answered your question, but that was some thoughts that came forward.
Yeah. No, I have asked the Holy Spirit in the past. I haven't recently, and I always get the message to just let it be. Let it be is what I get. Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't, you know, even considered whether or not I should have asked him about that, about inviting the Holy Spirit into it, until I just read this passage, and then I was like, oh, was I supposed to do that? Like, so.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay.
You know what
yeah.
comes to my mind with this is last week with the cat. You know, I was asking Holy Spirit for guidance, what to do, and I really wasn't getting an answer or anything direct answer. But what occurred to me is just do something that makes you happy. So that's how I spent the day, you know, working in the garden, going for a walk with my daughter, but then checking in to see how the cat was doing. And it, the way the whole thing unfolded was just, I mean, even though the cat had to be put down, it was miraculous the way it went. I mean, I'm flabbergasted by it. So in a sense, it's sometimes I feel like I should be hearing words, you know, getting actual direction from Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. but it's very subtle and it's very natural. Mm-hmm. It seems like such a natural process. Funny thing, I picked up the cat's ashes today. I had to go back to, they called during the week and said you can come and they had it boxed beautifully. And remember I told you there was a rainbow? I saw a rainbow on my way home. I mean, it was so heartwarming. Well, when I opened the package that they handed me, there's this poem in there about the rainbow bridge.
Oh, my God.
That was absolutely beautiful, and how you will always be together. I was bawling all over again. It was just, I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
It just absolutely floored me.
I love that.
Isn't that sweet?
I love that, too. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you, Paul. And that's such an important point about doing what makes you happy. And that happy with what you described with just going in the garden and, you know, walking, there's a tranquility in that type of happiness to me. This is now me making sense of my own experience. It's a deep happy rather than, because the ego can be really happy, but
yeah.
it's a deep happiness. I don't know. That just came up, but Deidre, I think I heard you.
Yeah, I was just going to just share like a brief comment because we were talking about I need do nothing and you know the decision about whether to do something or not do something, and I always find like when I need to do something, provided I've asked Spirit for help. That's really important because sometimes we forget. But as long as I've asked Spirit for help, it's almost like, honestly, it feels like the higher self takes over when you're supposed to do something and the action is being done for you.
Yeah.
That's the I'll give you a brief example. Some of you might remember last year I shared on the call about being accepted to a university for transpersonal psychology, and it ended up not working out. And I went through a kind of a journey with it where I allowed myself to feel my feelings of disappointment, but I still felt like every time I would tune in, a really strong call to continue along the path of education towards transpersonal psychology. So this year, I applied to 3 different universities, and I got accepted to all of them. But I kept hitting this wall of funding again. And the third time there was like red tape around funding, I was like, okay, Spirit is trying to tell me something here. And I just said, Spirit, what do you want me to do? And I ended up having kind of exchanging a session with another friend of mine who's also intuitive. We tend to do that as spiritual buddies. And what came through for her was for me to ask for help in a community of like-minded people. So I took that and I asked Spirit, where do you want me to ask for help?
And what I got was very clear. It was this guidance to go on a Facebook group and ask a question and tell the group, you know, my frustrations about my education and career path, and just be really open and authentic about my feelings and what was going on for me at the time. This was in March. And so I did that, and this lady came forward in the group and said, I don't normally post, but I felt really called toward your message. Have you heard about Clear Mind Institute? And I said, no, I haven't. And so I thanked her very much for answering the call. I knew what she was saying was divine, and I started doing research into this Clear Mind Institute. Well, it turns out this program is a 3-year counseling program. It's the only one of its kind in Canada. And it has its foundation in A Course in Miracles. Their mantra is love out loud. Okay, so I've gone through the process of registration and all of that, and I'm registered in year one right now, and I'm in the process of applying for scholarships and all of that. But this weekend was supposed to be my prerequisite workshop. I got a call earlier in the week by the lady that registered me my seat, and she said, it's a long weekend in Canada, and a lot of people have dropped out of the workshop for this weekend because of the long weekend. So we realize that you're registered in the workshop, and we're really sorry that we have to cancel. We would like to offer everyone who's registered a discount of X amount of dollars because, you know, we feel bad that we have to cancel. And I was like, oh, awesome, you know, Spirit's saving me money. And then the next day after that, I got this guidance that I should just go back into the original Facebook group where I posted my message originally and just say thank you to the person that gave me all the information. You know, I let them know that I am all registered. I plan to take the 3-year program, and I'm really excited about it. Had no, you know, plans of anything else other than saying thank you. So I do that, and I thank her very, very much for, you know, answering the call and speaking up when she wouldn't normally. Well, she comes back and she said, oh, I'm so happy to, you know, hear that you're registered in the program. I'm probably going to be invigilating the workshop that you're taking next month in June. I look forward to meeting you. And, oh, by the way, I can offer you a $100 gift certificate off of your workshop cost. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. In what universe does that normally, you know, like, I'm like, okay, this is what you do. Like,
wow.
Where before the money was kind of blocked, now it's not. And I'm just laughing because, you know, when something, it just reminds me how you can't force things to happen. You have to just allow. And I wasn't doing anything other than saying thank you. That's it.
You know, it goes back to being the most natural. It's natural when you work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right, right. Miracles are natural when they do not occur. Something has gone
something
wrong.
Something has gone
That's
wrong.
That's the quote.
But I mean,
are natural.
I just woke up that day and I thought, you know, I really should go in there and say thank you. You know, and that was it. And that's how what I mean when I say it feels like your higher self, the true identity, just takes over, and you're typing the message, or you're writing the email, or whatever it is that you're doing, you're filling out the form. But the part of you that thinks you're Deidre or Corinne doesn't have any part of that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, I just want to highlight again, make sure nobody left, that nobody overlooked that little tiny detail that this is a program that's rooted in A Course in Miracles. Like, I never heard of it either. Totally blown away, Adri, when you shared this with me. So what you're saying with it, that feeling of, like, the higher self taking over, that, you know, we need do nothing except get out of the way. We need to even stop overthinking it. Like, you know, it's literally getting out of the way, our small self stepping out of the way to let our higher self, our true self, be. We all know the term synchronicities, right? You know, that's another way of putting it. When these synchronicities happen and these things just fall into place that in a million years we couldn't have planned for. So, my goodness, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a perfect, perfect story.
It's a joyful. I just feel so much joy hearing that story, Deidre. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, Jet, for guiding me, because, you know, I had my moments of, that school didn't work out or this school didn't work out. But you know what? I feel so happy because I feel like this couldn't have been a more perfect school. I mean, where else could I have been guided to a school that has a foundation in A Course in Miracles?
I know.
Right.
So, I'm glad that the other things didn't work out.
yeah, and it's hard when we're in that. It's hard to see, you know, out of the clouds. Like, we get focused then on, oh, why didn't that work out the way I thought it was going to? Versus, again, just with the continuous willingness to stay in this place of, I don't know, you know? And my gosh, your story is just a beautiful example of that. Oh, beautiful. Let's, I'm aware of the time, and I definitely want to finish this section today, so let's read some more. We have three paragraphs left. I think we're at the experience of an instant, right? Yes. The experience of an instant, however compelling it may be, is easily forgotten if you allow time to close over it. It must be kept shining and gracious in your awareness of time, but not concealed within it. The instant remains, but where are you? Give thanks to each other. To give thanks to each other is to appreciate the holy instant and thus enable its results to be accepted and shared. To attack each other is not to lose the instant, but to make it powerless in its effects. You have received the holy instant, but you have established a condition which you cannot use it. As a result, you do not realize that it is with you still. And by cutting yourself off from its expression, you have denied yourself its benefit. You reinforce this every time you attack each other, for the attack must blind you to yourself. And it is impossible to deny yourself and recognize what has been given and received by you. Beautiful paragraph. And I have to highlight, Deidre, I was smiling inside when the sentence, to give thanks to each other is to appreciate the holy instant and thus enable its results to be accepted and shared. I just immediately thought of you connecting with that woman over Facebook who, just to give thanks and look what came about.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
amazing.
Miraculous. Yeah.
And so it's saying so clearly that that holy instant is always there, but it says, where are you? So these, again, that goes back to miracles are natural, but when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. It's because you, again, the small self, you, we've just become preoccupied with that small self again. We just think we're a small self again, and that's why the instant, the holy instant, seems to not be there anymore. We've established a condition, it says, in which we cannot use the holy instant, but it's still there. So it's, again, this through our willingness to turn to Holy Spirit that we are establishing the conditions for the holy instant to enter our awareness again, because it has never gone away. It's just us that has turned away from it. It's always there. I'm just going to read the next two paragraphs, and then we'll use the remaining minutes of the call to chat. You stand together in the holy presence of truth itself. Here is the goal, together with you. Think you not the goal itself will gladly arrange the means for its accomplishment? It is just the same discrepancy between the purpose that has been accepted and the means as they stand now, which seems to make you suffer, but which makes heaven glad. If heaven were outside you, you could not share in its gladness. Yet because it is within, the gladness, too, is yours. You are joined in purpose, but remain still separate and divided on the means. Yet the goal is fixed, firm, and unalterable, and the means will surely fall in place because the goal is sure. And you will share the gladness of the sonship that it is so. As you begin to recognize and accept the gifts you have so freely given to each other, you will also accept the effects of the holy instant and use them to bless you. I'm going to read that sentence again. As you begin to recognize and accept the gifts you have so freely given to each other, you will also accept the effects of the holy instant and use them to correct all your mistakes and free you from their results. In learning this, you will have also learned how to release all the sonship and offer it in gladness and thanksgiving to Him who gave you your release and who would extend it through you. So there again, I'm coming back to Deidre's example, the second to last paragraph, the second sentence in. Think you not, the goal itself will gladly arrange the means for its accomplishment. That sums up to me, Deidre, your story. Like the goal itself, with just how, again, the path is just laying out before you. It's arranging itself by, you know, by us just getting out of the way.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
I like reflecting on the whole experience. I think I needed to go through the other part because I still had some stuff where I would go back and sort of beat myself up for it not working out. And so there was a blessing in me learning to have compassion that I don't have to do that.
Yeah, beautiful. So if we can, the first sentence of the second paragraph that I just, or the last paragraph, yet the goal is fixed, firm, and unalterable, and the means will surely fall into place because the goal is sure. Our goal is God, and that, as we read already, is a goal that's always been there throughout eternity and is absolutely changeless. So why would we doubt, you know, why would we fear? It's just that false voice, those false beliefs that would tell us that we are something other than part of God. So that's so comforting to just think about how the means will surely fall into place because the goal is sure. If we can remember that any time that we get stuck in thinking we're not doing a good job or, you know, we're struggling with something, that goal is sure and the goal is sure, period. We have about 2 minutes left. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Any insights? Any questions?
I guess on willingness, you know, when you approach, like, the concept of a goal, you know, that it is sure, the willingness that it takes, I don't want to get personal, but I just wish it was easier, you know, to gather the strength. And I apologize to you guys because a lot of times I'll bring that up, but you're climbing the mountain. You're trying to make it clear. That part's hard, the willingness. That's all. It's just hard.
Number one, no apologies. I thank you for bringing this up because what you're expressing, we've all been there, and what you're expressing too, I'm sure many of us still, you know, we still face that. Mm-hmm. It's only difficult because there's part of the mind that still values separation, that still values or still thinks that there's something here for us. You know, that's the only reason it's difficult. And that's, and you know, I'm saying this and I'm hearing myself, and I still hit this myself. I absolutely still hit this myself. So I don't want you to feel, Brian, that, you know, that this is just you and not me. This is just
I
all
still
of
hit
us.
It too.
It's about getting, again, that radical self-honesty of being, of looking at what it is that we still value. Where is it that I love being Corinne? Where is it that I value this dream? Where is it that I, you know, that I want to hang on to this dream, that I want things to turn out okay? I don't have to let any of that go. I just have to be willing to look at it with Holy Spirit, because slowly I'll start to come to value something else, and it's not going to feel as hard because I'm withdrawing the value that I place there. So that's the only reason it ever feels difficulty, is because we're valuing something that
and you know, we can't
still,
all of these experiences, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong.
Yeah.
You absolutely cannot go wrong. So don't be hard on yourself. I mean, remember,
you're
the Course is constantly talking about remembering and forgetting, and that's what we do. We remember and we forget. We remember and we forget, but we can never get it wrong. And and this is where strength and faith is built on all of this craziness that we experience.
Beautiful.
You know, and then reaching out to the Holy Spirit and getting these shifts, it's a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful thing. This Course in Miracles is a wonderful thing.
I agree. And just to highlight again that idea that we are each in the exact place where we need to be. We are not further behind than we need to be. We're not further ahead where we need to be. We're exactly where we need to be. And if we can allow that to be the case and stop thinking like, you know, oh, I should be doing something differently, if we can just fully accept where we're at, that brings about a sense of ease also. That brings about a softening, so it doesn't have to feel, you know, like it is so difficult. So I like ease. I've come to really like ease.
Wow.
Plus, I think it's important too, Corinne, you say acceptance, and that is, acceptance is the answer to all my problems. I've also found appreciation in my mighty companions who are able to be compassionate, you know, either towards me or allowing me to hold space for them, because I remember before I came to the Course, like, some of the behavioral patterns that I practiced that, well, they were not bringing me, you know, happy dreams. So, and at times I still am practicing patterns that don't bring me happy dreams. But I noticed that when I was, before the Course, before I was able to, you know, share the stuff that I was going through with friends at the time. But, you know, because of who they were and where they were at the time, you know, sometimes it would be met with a lack of compassion and an attack. And so I've grown in my own recovery and recognizing that, well, I just have to accept where I'm at. I'm not where they think I should be. And we all have some areas that we use to attack ourselves. And so I never think that attacking somebody is the answer. And if it should come across that way, then a quick an apology would certainly be following, for me anyway. And I've been finding that if I feel like somebody is attacking me, I'm not inclined to want to be in their company. You know, that is a gift that I give to myself. So, but it is important, you know, as mighty companions, I feel like we need each other when stuff starts kicking in from all different points. It's helpful for somebody to say, and you're innocent. It's helpful for someone to say, hey, let's look at this passage in the Course, and maybe you can't say it right now, but let me just look at you. Come, brother, let me look on you with the eyes of love. You know, mm-hmm. So if I can't say it, it's really important to hold some space for one another when this stuff does come up, and the struggle to even try to quote unquote get it right. I'm like, I guess I can relax in my what appears to be my imperfection, because that's why I'm studying the Course, you know, because I ain't gonna get it right all the time. I don't get it right all the time, and how do I know? Because I'm not at peace all the time. And yeah. So, you know, it's nobody's responsibility or nobody's fault, like I would want it to be. That the Course is there for me to be able to use those quick restoratives. And sometimes I don't always feel better immediately, you know, but I just trust that what is telling me about who I am and the joy and the peace and the gifts of God and the innocence, who I really am, the innocence of my condition. It's like, you know, that can't be changed, you know, but I'm giving myself some intense experiences because I don't know any better. You know, I don't, you know, there is still a part of my mind that is seriously, you know, still in pajamas. So,
still in pajamas?
I love that.
I like it. Being
too.
In pajamas.
Yeah. For my own struggles to get it right. I'm doing what I can, and I have the willingness, and I just keep showing up. So I need to be softer with myself, and sometimes that means I need to have softer people, mighty companions around me. So I thank y'all for being those soft, mighty companions. Mm-hmm. I really, really appreciate you. I love you.
You're a mighty companion
I love you
yourself.
Too, Carla. I feel that gratitude for all of you. These calls help me so much, and I feel such gratitude that we can hold the space for each other because we're holding steady for each other. And as we've said before, sharing these ideas strengthens them in our own minds. And so thank you all from the bottom of my heart for coming together, because this is just so, so helpful. So.
Thank you.
Amen to that.
I love you all. Big group
amen.
Hug.
Have a great week.
Love you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye, Sam.
Bye-bye.